everyone, and welcome back to Kiss God Radio, right here on LoveRadioNetwork.com. Love is where it's at. I'm Pastor P, and I'm glad to be able to share this memorable moment with you for the next best 30 minutes of your day. Listen, I need y'all to do me a favor right now. I want you to invite someone to Kiss God Radio. I want you to go ahead and do that. Text them, call them, FaceTime them, share the love, all right? Tonight, we're going to go deeper into the well springs of life. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. We'll be right back with more of Athea Renee's rendition of Michael Jackson. Rock with me. Kiss God Radio, y'all. We'll be back. History Month, right? So I would like to give honor to all of you ladies that are listening tonight to Kiss God Radio, and of course, especially to my queen, Dr. Kimberly. I was going to say Dr. Kimberly Dean. Well, you know how it is. I honor you, sweetheart. So National Women's History Month started back in March 8, 1857, when women from various New York City factories staged a protest over poor working conditions, and it was about more than seven decades later, Congress in 1981 established National Women's History Month to be commemorated annually in March. So today, this evening, tonight, women of all ages, we celebrate you. God bless you. God bless you for all of the work that you have done, making it happen. We couldn't do it without you. All right, y'all, let's pray. I got something to say. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. You're just a right now, God. I want to thank you for what you're doing in my life. Thank you for Kiss God Radio. Thank you for LoveRadioNetwork.com, for the platform that's transforming lives one at a time. I want to thank you for the listeners. Father, I thank you for those that are ready to take life higher, knowing that we can't do it without you. Bless every man. Bless every woman on this platform. Keep them, Lord. Let them not get off this platform the same way that they got on, with more of you and less of themselves. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, people of God, I want to thank you once again for being on this platform tonight. I'm going to dive into the Word of God because I know that my time is going to run out, and I'm going to try to do the best that I can. I'm going to take you very quickly to John, the fourth chapter, the first verse, and I'm going to read for quite some time, but I want to give you this story so you can kind of grab a hold of it. So let's just kind of go with me. John, the fourth chapter, first verse, and probably going to read it down to the 26th, but here's the beginning of God's word. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples did. But he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Verse 13, Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst again. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into an everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands. Sheesh. And the one whom you have now is not your husband. And that you spoke truly." The woman said to her, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshiped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus answered and said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." So far, the scripture. The word of the Lord has been spoken. The word of the Lord has been heard. Tonight's message, we're going to go deep in the well. It's called, entitled, "Thirsty? Thirsty," with a question mark at the end. Now, normally in the street, or when you hear the word thirsty, it's different from the natural side of a human being thirsty for some water, who might seem dehydrated after working out or after running, exercising, and you need to replenish your body. But there's another word entitled, or another way of saying thirsty, concerning relationships. And in the Urban Dictionary, it defines thirsty as too eager to get something, desperate. So this desperation can be in reference to anything, such as compliments. You're thirsty for compliments. You're thirsty for validation. You're thirsty for attention. But here, it's most frequently used, specifically means desperate for sex. So on that note, I want to deal and talk to the singles. Now, from the story, ladies probably would be more in tune to feeling and relating to this. But my brothers, I'm talking to you as well. Dealing with the Samaritans were a mixed race, just to give you some history. They were part Jew and part Gentiles. They grew out of the Assyrian captivity of the northern tribe. And they was rejected by the Jews because they could not prove their genealogy, so to speak. So it is important to understand that in that day, it was not considered proper for any man, especially a rabbi, to speak in public to a strange woman. But Jesus, he set social customs aside because his soul's eternal salvation was at stake. I want you to listen. This is not Bible class, but it is Kiss God. So it certainly surprised her when he asked for a drink of water. So she surmised that he was a Jewish rabbi. And perhaps she tried to read between the lines to find another meaning to his request. What was he really seeking after? His disciples are not with him. I'm alone. And he's by himself. What does this man really want? I'm here to tell y'all that everything that you've been longing for and searching for, it's found in God. I understand this, that as I'm speaking this, the story of the woman at the well in John 4 is very familiar, and you may have heard it several times, but I believe that you're going to receive a new revelation of this particular story, because the revelation that's found in this message is from the heart of God to you. And I pray that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened and that you will encounter the presence of God. Because the point that I want to make is that something was fulfilling her void for God other than God. The most important thing, God help me tonight, the most important thing that I want to highlight about this woman's encounter with Jesus is that the timing was strategic. Jesus always knows when to get to you. He knows the timing. And John 4:4 says, but he needed to go through Samaria. He knew she was there. He knew what she needed. Jesus had a purpose and he had a plan. There's a purpose and a plan in your life that God is putting into place. He knew exactly what would happen when he went there. And while he was at the well, the disciples was somewhere else getting something to eat. And Jesus encountered the woman at the well when she was alone, when she was single. Well, my brothers, listen, just like Jacob wrestled with the angel all night long, he was alone. He was by himself, and he wrestled with the angel. Here is a woman that is alone, that is by herself, that is single, and here Jesus showed up. They shared an intimate exchange. People of God, I'm here to tell you tonight that God wants to share an intimate exchange with you. God is looking for an intimate exchange with you in your singleness. No one else around to distract them. Disciples, go to the other side. I don't need you with me. I'm good. I'm by myself. I have an assignment. I have a mission. I have a mission to take care of this single woman I must speak to. No friends, no family, no boyfriend, no husband, no kids. Just her and Jesus. So he encountered her in a place of singleness. A place of intimacy. Listen to me. This is exactly what he wants to do with you. While you are single, he desires to encounter you. He desires to be intimate with you. And I believe that if you are listening to this message, that you will encounter God in a new way. I'm believing this right now. This message is a prophetic well. It's your prophetic well. Listen to me. You may not be at a well with Jesus in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm, He's looking at you saying just what he said in John 4:7, give me a drink. Jesus wants you to drink of him tonight, today. He wants you to know who he is, and he wants you to experience his love and freedom. And the only way that you're going to be able to do that is by drinking from him. Jesus knew what the outcome of his conversation was going to be with the woman at the well. He knew that she wasn't happy. He knew it. She wasn't happy with her life, and he had a better way for her to live. Jesus has a better way for you to live tonight. He has a much better relationship for you to be in. Listen to me. You may be unhappy with your life right now. Maybe you have had many relationships and the one that you're in right now is not fulfilling. You know it's not good. Maybe you are lonely right now. Maybe you're looking for something, but you don't know what it is. If so, then you can definitely relate to this woman. This woman was at the well getting water that would make her thirsty again. I truly believe that there are some things that we're doing that we believe that will satisfy us. It's making us thirsty again. We believe that drinking from that man is going to make us whole, satisfy us, but it's making you thirsty again. Brothers, we believe that drinking from that woman is going to satisfy your needs, your manhood, your desires, but you're thirsty again. If you're in an ungodly relationship with someone, then you're also getting water that will make you thirsty again and again and again and again. You know why? Because it's a temporary satisfaction. And you will always have to go back to that source, because the love and the happiness you feel in those brief moments of pleasure always wears off. They never last. And when you make a man your source, when you make a woman your source, it will always leave you feeling empty. Listen to me. When you feel like it's that woman that is bringing you the water, and she's pouring the water in you or in your cup, and while you're drinking, it's leaking out. Women, the same thing. While you're drinking from the man, from the friends, from the human beings, you're leaking out. But listen, this water that we get from humans, it makes us thirsty again and again and again. So Jesus continues to say to this woman, John 4:14, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give, he'll never thirst again. And in that moment, when I read the text, I can begin to feel her excitement. I feel it. I feel her excitement. It was probably as if someone had offered her $1 million. Listen to what she said in John 4:15. She said, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor even come here to draw. She was looking for something. There was an emptiness inside of her. I'm talking to somebody. There's an emptiness inside of you, and Jesus wants to fulfill you. Listen to me. We can look at this natural. We can look at it in a natural way, but I want to examine it from a spiritual perspective, if you don't mind. This woman's soul was thirsty. She was longing for God. That is because God is the only one who can satisfy your soul. We were created to worship God, serve God, be loved by God. And when we let something else take its place, it never works. She was fulfilling her soul with men because she was lacking a relationship with God. And when Jesus offered her that water, her spirit and her soul came alive. It jumped for joy. There is always a deeper meaning behind what Jesus said. The water he offered was actually himself, the only thing that could satisfy her soul. That same water, people, listen to Kiss God tonight. That same water is available to every thirsty soul in the world today, to every single man, to every single woman. This is not just about women. It's about my brothers and my sisters. And I had to have a conversation with God about why, sometimes with why men were her source. How did she get to that place? How did she get to that place where men were her source, and God began to reveal it to me? And I have to believe that even because of relationship with fathers. And I want to hear, because I've been talking to some women and I've been understanding this, that some women who haven't had a bad relationship with their father but never really had an intimate relationship with their father, a close relationship, didn't get a chance to sit on his lap, rest on his shoulders, spend that time with him, developing years with him. And then what happens? You begin to become rebellious towards him. Don't feel connected to him. And then emotionally, you become distant and not raised in that loving and affectionate home. And therefore, what happens? Women begin to seek the attention out in a man, the attention that a man gives, and begins to feel some kind of self-worth from that man. And all you begin to do is feel accepted and loved, and then not knowing the unconditional love of Jesus. And so what happens? They begin to feel this emotional void in men. And many women of the world today suffer from being fatherless. And it doesn't even mean that a father wasn't in a home. It just simply means that there was no connection. And they seek to fill the void of their fathers in other men and have a longing, lasting devastation on their souls. Listen, and I'm telling you, if you can relate to this, then I pray that God would fill every void in your heart, because he's the father to the fatherless. Psalm 68:5, no matter what happened in your life between you and your father, stepfather, doesn't matter. God is able to give you beauty for ashes and fill any void that you have from that relationship. And now that Jesus has her attention, it was time to deal with the hindrances. In John 4:16, he asked that woman, go get your husband. Her soul wanted to get closer to God, but there was something that was hindering her decision. If she didn't make the right choice, she had to make the right choice. He said, go get your husband. Once you have encountered a relationship with God, there's always a choice to be made. I'm telling you now, this is the reason why a lot of people don't want to be in the presence of God, don't want to go to church, because their souls will be convicted. And when your soul is convicted, when your spirit is convicted, you know you have to make a choice to do the right thing. She could have chosen to go back to the temporary satisfaction of a man, or turn to the everlasting satisfaction of Jesus. The Samaritan woman made the right choice. She said, I have no husband. And after you have this personal relationship with God, or this encounter with God, he gives you the right relationship. Oh, in order to be closer with God, y'all, we have to be willing to be honest about our mess. I'm telling you, but you got to look at what Jesus said to her. This is what Jesus said to her. She said, I have no husband. He said, you have had 5 husbands, and the one that you're with is not your husband. Wait a minute. Does she have 5 divorces? Wait, I just caught that. Wait. Okay. All right. I'm not going to get into that. Oh, I just caught that. So he says, I'm the Messiah. And so she said, I know that the Messiah is coming. I'm bugging. And she said, when he comes, he will tell us all things. She had faith that there's a better way. I'm telling you now, my brothers and sisters, there is a better way. To be totally happy in Christ. I'm telling you, I know it. I know it. I know that there is a place of intimacy that you can experience. God is revealing it to you, who he is to you. But he had to get everybody away. He had to get everybody away, get to you alone. And the Bible says that she put down her water pot and she left it because she was filled with his presence. I'm telling y'all now, ladies, put down that water pot, because the man that you're serving is not what God wants you to do. He doesn't want you to be filled from that man. He wants you to be filled from him. My brothers, that water pot, put it down. That woman is not to serve you. God wants you to serve him. Put the water pot down. It's his well that will never run dry. Listen to what I'm saying to you tonight. We put more into men, more into women than we do put into God. And guess what? It was time for her to exit when the disciples came back. The disciples came back. She was gone. You know, the disciples, I said, Jesus, who was that? Who was that? Why was they around you? You know, you need an adjutant, Jesus. You know better than to walk away by yourself. You know how people get when Jesus is on a mission. People want to start picking. When you start doing right, that's when the devil wants to get involved in your life. But I'm telling you now, put the water pot down and allow Jesus to pour the water of life inside of you. Because that water pot, I gotta go. Ladies, I gotta go. Brothers, listen to me. I believe that that water pot symbolized her agenda. It represented her plan for her life. The moment she walked away from the water pot, she decided not to take her baggage with her anymore. She left her association with the old life at the well. Leave it at the well. She left her water pot with Jesus at the place where she encountered him. It's time to walk away from the water pot. Walk away from the well. Jesus is about to give you life. Life more abundantly. Greater than you ever had. My time is up, guys, and I thank you for yours. Ladies, I know you're getting this. I know you got to listen to it over and over and over again. My brothers, just glean where you can. Just understand it's time for us brothers as well to wrestle with God. Are y'all with me? Well, ladies, this is Ladies Month, so I got to give you a little something to just go out on. But I pray y'all join me again next week. I'm excited about this word. Thirsty? Drink from Christ. You never thirst again. God bless you. Heaven smiled upon you. I pray that you go in peace, and may your peace be multiplied. Charlie Rock, take the ladies over to the bridge.
Sophisticated mama, come on you disco.